Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. Well, Blazing 5 was 2-3 last week. I didn't love it, but I did think I was on the right side of one of my losses, Baltimore. But that's the breaks, 2-3. I am having a rough season. A lot of favorites winning. I like more favorites than dogs this week. We'll get to RJ Bell of pregame.com and Fox Sports Radio in a few minutes. First, my Blazing 5.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing 5. Packers at Texans.
Favorite pick of the week, I like Green Bay -3.5. I like good teams who get humiliated in national TV games. They are focused. They'll be ticked off. The Packers will play great this week. By the way, they have two turnovers all year. They were both against Tampa Bay's defense. This is a really smart, clean football team. And Texans' defense is horrific. They've given up more big plays than any NFL defense this year. And the average opposer passer rating is a 111. Okay, now here comes Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, ticked off, laser focused. Packers hammer the Texans 40-23.
Steelers at Titans.
I have a rule. Take a really good team getting points. Pittsburgh getting a couple of points. I'm going to take the Steelers here to win. Tennessee has two big issues. First of all, their left tackle, Taylor Lewan, is out. You do not want to be missing a Pro Bowl-level left tackle against the Steelers. That is a problem. Secondly, the Titans' defense is last in the NFL on third-down defense. Why? They don't have a pass rush. What does that mean? People extend drives. So Tennessee is a really good football team, but I think they'll meet their match. By the way, Big Ben's having an extraordinary season. His best completion percentage, his best passer rating, his best touchdown to interception ratio. They're getting points. The Titans are missing their best offensive lineman. Steelers win a good, ugly game, 28-23. Pittsburgh Steelers go on to win.
Panthers at Saints.
I'm going to take New Orleans -7.5. That's a hook number. Everybody usually likes the team getting 7.5. I'm going to take the Saints. Here's why. The Saints, the last four times they've come off a bye. I like veteran quarterbacks and great coaches off a bye. They're 3-1 in those games. And Drew Brees, criticize him all you want. He's completing 71% of his throws, leads the NFL. And Carolina's defense, 5 sacks, fewest in the NFL. Carolina's defense, one of the worst on third down. But this may be the key. Teddy Bridgewater was with the Saints the last couple of years. He's now in Carolina. The New Orleans Saints have had a couple of weeks to prepare for Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback they practice against for the last couple of years, off a bye, well-rested against a Carolina team that I think is getting better but is limited defensively. Take the Saints to win and cover 30-20.
Seahawks at Cardinals.
Seattle off a bye. The last four times, Seattle's been off a bye, they're 4-0. Meanwhile, Arizona, a young, inconsistent team, is on a short week because they played a Monday Night Football, and a young team that beat the Dallas Cowboys, everybody's telling Arizona, you the man. And here comes Seattle, divisional game, must win, off a bye. By the way, Russell Wilson has owned no team in the NFL like Arizona. He's played them 8 times. He lost once, his first career NFL start. He's 6-0-1 since. He has rolled this team. Jamal Adams is supposed to come back for Seattle. Again, Arizona, short week, off a big emotional win, beating the Cowboys, national TV. Seattle, off a bye, veteran coach. A quarterback, Russell Wilson, that has owned Arizona. I'm going to take the Seahawks to stay undefeated, 34-24.
Bears at Rams.
I'll take the Rams -6 on the last living American that likes the Rams. Okay, Chicago is limited offensively, but we thought if they get Nick Foles, they'll be better. The problem is Nick has had one or more interceptions in 5 straight games. That's the longest streak in the NFL. It's not Jameis Winston bad, but it's not good. The Bears offense is near the bottom in everything. 27th in scoring, 28th total, 28th rushing. It's a mess. And the Rams defense is better than people think. They've moved Jalen Ramsey all over the field, slot outside, allowing fewer than 20 points in their last four games this year. And Jared Goff, I know there's all these misgivings. Nobody likes Jared Goff. He has the highest passer rating in the NFL in the fourth quarter. I think it's a close, ugly game. The Rams pull away late. They cover the spread 28-20. More of my Blazing 5 picks. Check out all the Fox Bet social platforms.
Now we bring in RJ Bell, pregame.com, on radio every day, Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern, straight out of Vegas. Check out his Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas. So we start with this. I have a golden rule. I love really good teams off humiliating losses. Green Bay's going to be focused and angry. I'm going to take the Packers, even though I see that hook at -3.5. I think it started at -4 this week. The Texans defense has allowed the most big plays in the league, and opposing quarterbacks average 112 passer rating. I like Green Bay here handily. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement here, and I think your instincts are right about the Packers and their motivation. You talked about it this week on the show. After Aaron Rodgers got beat handedly by Tampa, there was a lot of talk of, well, we were full of ourselves, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's like, okay, so you're saying you weren't ready to play. You would think they're going to be ready to play here. If you look at Houston and their schedule, it's almost incomprehensible how tough it's been. Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and now Green Bay. That could literally be the toughest schedule we've ever seen in the NFL in a short period of time. The only two games that weren't monsters, Jacksonville, which they won, and Minnesota, which is the bad loss that got O'Brien fired. But here's the question. This isn't just an abstraction in a computer program, meaning, oh, look how good they are if you have the strength of schedule. These are human beings, and they're pretty much out of it this year. You got to wonder, what is the motivation for Houston? Not that they don't want to play hard or win, but are they potentially flat here because the market is giving Houston massive appreciation, yes, massive respect? Think about it, Colin, the Tennessee game, that line was 3.5. The game was in Tennessee with a team with no losses versus a team with only one win, and somehow the line was 3.5. It goes to show you the market is saying Houston, let's account for that strength of schedule. And I'm saying these are human beings. I'm not so sure. You add that in with Green Bay's motivation, agreement, Packers.
I like a lot of favorites this week, but I'll take Pittsburgh plus the points, whether it's 2 or 1. The Titans have two big weaknesses in this game. Number one, their left tackle, Taylor Lewan, is out. Well, the Steelers are number one in sacks. That's a bad situation. Remember, rookie Jedrick Wills, Brown's left tackle, struggled against the Steelers' front. The second thing is, they don't have a very good consistent pass rush in Tennessee, and it's hurt their third down defense. It's last in the NFL. 58% of the time, opponents get a first down on third down. And I think those are the two edges that give the Steelers the win this week. I'll take the points in Pittsburgh. What do the wise guys say?
Agreement here. And let's be very specific. The money this week has come in on Tennessee. And Pittsburgh was favored. Now they're getting points. Now there's two ways to look at it. One is, oh, Pittsburgh's on sale. We want to like them when they're getting points more than when they're laying points. The other side is, well, some very serious bettors are betting the other way. I think the public is confused about Tennessee. They see the offense. They see the good coach. And they think, okay, the offense is fine. They can run the ball. But that D is good. And no. The D's not good. The D's in the 20s. Whatever rankings you use, Tennessee's defense is in the 20s. The offense is amongst the top five in the NFL. Now, Tennessee was really disregarded until they beat Buffalo. That Buffalo win was one that really got some people's attention. Here's the thing. The Bills were in such a terrible spot, they didn't know who they were going to play a day or two before the game, literally. They could have been playing Kansas City that Thursday. I think that mitigates to some degree how impressive Tennessee was. The Pittsburgh offense has evolved. Obviously, the playmakers are emerging. I do have one concern, and there's one thing I really like about Pittsburgh. The concern, Devin Bush, not only a key linebacker, but he was the play caller on defense. He's out for the Steelers. But here's why I agree with you. Pittsburgh was preparing the week this game got canceled to play Tennessee. All that prep happened. Now they are preparing this week. So in a way, Pittsburgh has 2 weeks to prepare for this game because of the prior week. To me, that's the key edge agreement, Pittsburgh.
That's pretty sharp. Well, that's why you are sharp.
Thank you.
I know the number 7.5, but I'm going to take the Saints, and here's why, -7.5 against Carolina. Number one, I think this is a real edge. Teddy Bridgewater, the former Saint, this defense and this staff know him. Secondly, the Saints have a very good coach. They're off a bye. I always like elite coaches off a bye. Last 4 years, Sean Payton's 3-1 off a bye. Drew Brees doesn't throw it deep, but he's getting Michael Thomas back. And this Panthers defense has no pass rush. I think it could be high scoring. I'm going to swallow the -7.5. I'll take the Saints. What do the wise guys think?
Disagreement here, though. It's a close one for me. October is the month of the Saints. I mean, this is the status stats. In October, going back to 2014, they are 21-2 straight up, the Saints, 20-3 against the spread. That's almost incomprehensible. But what you have is a Saints team that plays it like Belichick, with the September being an extended preseason, and then they really start grooving in October. But I just think the Panthers are so frisky, and you're getting over a touchdown here. The Bridgewater point's an interesting one, because when you have a coach as good as Sean Payton, who made Bridgewater look good, now does he know his weaknesses? I think you've got a valid point there. I don't think I've ever done this before. I came into this leaning Panthers. I am switching and going to give you agreement. This was a tough one for me. I'm such a big Saints guy. I'm also a huge Panthers guy at this point. I just love Rule. I just think so much.
So do I.
But I got to tell you, first time I'm going to swing it and give you a slight agreement, Saints. But it goes to show you, Colin, and it's important to realize, most games, the line is generally correct.
Yes.
And if it is, you might like it a half a point one way, a half a point the other. But in the end, it lines right. I think the line's about right. If it was 7 in this game, I'd love the Saints at 7.5. Let's call it a slight lean.
I'll take Seattle. It's actually one of my favorite bets, -3.5 against Arizona. Jamal Adams could return this week, a playmaker. Now, first, Russell Wilson has been absolutely brilliant in his career against Arizona. His only loss was his first career start in the NFL. Since then, 7 games, 6 wins, and a tie. Arizona did not play well against Dallas. They just beat a terrible team. Kyler Murray only had 9 catches. I think this Seattle team, Pete Carroll's a mentor. It's a young defense. They're going to get better. I'm going to swallow the 3.5 and take Seattle.
I'm unequivocal on this one. Big disagreement. Now, let me ask you. You said Kyler Murray had only so many receptions, 9. But when you're dominating a game and you're running the ball, like, what's the value of throwing the ball, right? I mean, how does Arizona do better than they did against the Cowboys?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of it speaks to the mayhem in Dallas, but I question about Arizona. I find Arizona to be a wildly inconsistent but flashy offense.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of the Kyler Murray MVP talk and all that in the offseason was a mistake. Or what I think has got us off the trail of that. I was a skeptic of Murray. You know, I tell the story a couple years ago, Fox, we were at the Super Bowl. I was standing beside him. I'm maybe 5'11 if you're lucky. And I was a couple inches taller. And I'm like, uh-oh. I mean, it's going to be. But this guy doesn't seem to take a hit. He doesn't seem to have a problem seeing over the line. I think the key here is that they had Arizona in that game against Dallas. It was actually third straight road game, which is so rare in the NFL. And still they dominate. Now they get to come home. And Seattle off the bye, let's give them credit. But here's the Seattle stat that really concerns me. In the NFL, about 62% of the time, it's touchdowns. 38% of the time, field goals. That's the normal split. This year, Seattle, 23 touchdowns, 2 field goals. I know Russell Wilson's good, but no one is that good. They've had too many four-point plays. And you might say, well, what's the difference, RJ? They've been winning easy. No. If you actually look at it, other than Atlanta, if you just had one, because they won that game easily, first game of the year, if you take one touchdown and make it a field goal against Dallas, Miami, and New England, they would have lost every one of those games against the spread. And thus, they'd be 1-4 against the spread. Do you really think if Seattle was 1-4 against the spread, everyone would be so excited about them? I think it's Russell Wilson is obscuring that this is what? Defensively, the 25th best team, 28th? Where would you put them?
Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, Jamal Adams will make them better, but it's a bottom five defense in the league.
How good can you be? And in your herd hierarchy, where did you have Seattle?
Second or third.
Okay. So how can you have one of the worst defenses in the league and be the second or third best team? I think, listen, you're not in the minority here. A lot of people agree with you. I'm saying it's being obscured that Seattle is not that good because of Russell Wilson. And literally, they're one field goal instead of a touchdown away in three games from being 1-4 against the spread.
That's it. RJ Bell, pregame.com, is joining us now. You know, it's easy to dump on the Rams. I thought I picked San Francisco last week, RJ, and I said it was the season for them. It was not for the Rams. And by the way, I think Kyle Shanahan's the only young coach in the league better than Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
So now I get the Rams minus six. Chicago's defense is bad, and Nick Foles was going to fix it. But Nick has at least one interception in five straight games. That's the longest active streak in the league. And the Rams' defense is moving Jalen Ramsey all over the field very effectively, and they have allowed fewer than 20 points in four games this year. I'm going to take the Rams minus six, despite the misgivings about Jared Goff by many. He's got the highest fourth quarter passer rating in the league this year at 141. I'll swallow the six. Rams win by a touchdown. What do the wise guys think?
I got to give you credit for your loyalty with Goff because everyone else is off. You're on disagreement here. Let me ask you something. What would you say is the best Rams win of the season?
Oh, boy.
Because I'll give you a little clue.
Well, they've beaten up on the NFC East.
They've only won against the NFC East.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I thought, again, in week one when Dallas hadn't fallen apart yet, I think teams get better or worse. Dallas has clearly over the last 3 weeks just unraveled completely, players leaking. It's a fair criticism.
O-line for Dallas got beat up really bad as the years progressed.
Yes.
Obviously, Dak. I agree. But clearly, this is a Rams team entering the year that in that Dallas game, first game of the year, they were 3-point underdogs at home. There was not any great expectations for the Rams. They were not a playoff team. I mean, they were on the fringe, but the expectations was Rams would just miss the playoffs. Now, what have they done? You go and look at that Bills game. It looked okay at the time. Now that Bills game doesn't look so good, getting down 30-3 or whatever it was. So, in general, I think that the narrative has swung in that, okay, the Rams are a borderline playoff team to, oh, look how good they are. But in hindsight, they're beating up on some average teams or below average teams. And then now let's look over at the Bears. This sounds funny, but it's true. A lot of wise guys would like the Bears more if they would only lose a few games. Because what happens is everyone is so fixated that they're not a one-loss team. They're not that good that they overreact the other way. Imagine if the Bears were 3-3 and they had lost two of those close games. They would get a lot more love in this game. Remember, Minnesota was playing at Seattle. Minnesota had lost a bunch of games, and the line was only 7. It was like, why? Well, it was, Minnesota's better than they seem. Okay, well, the Bears are better than they seem, even though the record's great. This is a decent team. They just shut down Carolina, the first team to do that. In general, I look at the strength of schedule of the Rams and say, Football Outsiders has them number 30. And lastly, let's look at the last two times these teams have played. You probably remember the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl and lost to New England. They had that game at Chicago in the cold. And what did the Bears do? They actually gave Belichick the blueprint on how to go against Goff and the Rams. And then last year, the Rams won. If you add up the two games, the final score was Bears 22 points, Rams 23 in these two games. those are low scoring games. I'm getting six, low scoring. Give me the Bears.
Bonus, and I really struggled with this until this morning. I would have taken San Francisco plus 2.5 at New England for two reasons. The Niners defense, despite Bosa's injury, DeForest Buckner leaving, ranks top five in total defense and passing defense. It's still good. And Cam Newton's passer rating has declined in each game this year. He looked good against Seattle. Well, now everybody's looked good against Seattle's defense. I think San Francisco's a better team. I think they got healthier last week. I think they have excellent outside weapons. And I think New England is the slowest offense in the league. I would take the Niners plus 2.5. What would the wise guys think?
By the way, Arizona's going to look good against that Seattle defense, too.
Yes.
All right.
They will. That could be a shootout.
Oh, no doubt. I'm going to disagree here pretty strongly. And we did some original research, and we have a researcher, Mackenzie. He's a Yale graduate, Colin. We got a guy from Yale doing research for us. And he came in, you know, I said, let's look at Belichick against former quarterbacks that he had, right? Jimmy G obviously being one of them. This is very fascinating. In those games, there's been 14 times Belichick has gone against a former quarterback of his, 11-3 against the spread for New England. And if you look at the number of points expected to be scored by the team, the opponent, they scored six less points per game, less than 14 per game by his former pupils. So when he understands you as a quarterback, look out, especially if you're a limited quarterback. Well, Jimmy G, you might say he's not limited or not as limited. Okay, maybe, but he's still a little hobbled from that ankle. So if there's anyone in the world I wouldn't want to be playing if I'm the 49ers, it's Belichick, who historically 11-3 against the spread against former pupils, and with Jimmy G a little bit hobbled. I also believe the following. New England, why did they look so bad last week? Because they didn't practice? Well, you might say Tennessee didn't practice before Buffalo, but Tennessee had Tannehill in his second year, Henry. That team very much didn't need as much practice because they have a lot of time together. Cam is a new quarterback in a new system. Belichick's been revealing parts of the playbook one increment at a time. I thought the Pats were susceptible big time to being hurt by a lack of practice. Now, a full week of practice, I think you can sort of dismiss last week, and because of that, I like the Patriots.
RJ Bell, at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. Good stuff on a Saturday, everybody. Thanks for listening, and thanks, RJ.
Thank you.